Good afternoon. I'm so happy that I get to be with you all, not just tonight, but throughout this summer. For those of you who don't know, I'm one of the preaching interns here along with Philly, and it truly is a blessing to be here. Now, as a student at Freed Hardeman, I know many of you as my professors, or maybe not many, but several, and also as former professors, and many of those being Bible professors at Freed Hardeman. And I've talked to Robert about this. Sometimes it's kind of nerve-wracking getting up here and realizing, man, 100% of the people in this room are smarter than me. And that's kind of scary sometimes. And Robert told me that I was going to be speaking tonight, and of course I was very happy, but kind of stressed, kind of nervous, because this is the Henderson Church of Christ, and that means something, being a freed student and living in Henderson and knowing the audience. So it is so good to be here, but this kind of ties into what we're going to be talking about tonight, and so I want to ask you this question of, have you ever been stressed? Of course, that's a rhetorical question, right? The answer is yes. Maybe you can relate to the man in this picture. This is the first time I've ever done this, but I used ChatGPT to make this picture. And I hear that SoCo is teaching an AI class in here, so maybe you all know what that means. But maybe you felt this way before. Maybe you've said those words of, oh, I'm so stressed. Man, I've just been so anxious this week. Or maybe I've been anxious and stressed for so long, I'm burnt out. Today we're going to be talking about going from this to this. Now, I'm not telling you that magically you're going to have more plants in your office than the previous picture, but I am telling you that there is a way that hopefully, at least internally, we can go from feeling so stressed and so anxious to better. And maybe I didn't realize that so many people were going to be gone at Maywood, but I thought maybe this picture would relate more to some of the parents here. But again, going from this to this, and I'm not saying your house will magically be cleaned, but hopefully we can have this internal feeling of what we're going to be talking about tonight, and that is peace. You know, the Bible says a lot about peace. It's enlisted in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." If you'd like to turn your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 here in a minute. Mark chapter 4. But the Bible says a lot about peace, and so often it is related to God or Christ. So I figure that's a good place to look. And so we're going to start with Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 36, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 36, it says, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him," him being Jesus, and his disciples are with him here. Verse 37, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we perish?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" See, this is a wonderful passage that speaks to the power of Jesus, right? This speaks to the power of God, and hopefully that's something we're going to be talking about more later on in the lesson. But right now, we see that Jesus tells the weather, tells the wind, tells the waves, "Peace, be still." We have this relation of peace to a calmness, to stillness, to consistency. And I think that's something we all look for in our lives. We all want a sense of consistency. if our life was absolute chaos 24/7, I think, at least to me, that would be the definition of stress, right? Where we never know what's coming next and we never know what's around the corner, not necessarily in a good way, but there's pain and there's strife coming. Or maybe there is good, but there's so much good that you can't get to all of it and you become overwhelmed, right? Maybe you relate to this sense of stress. Luckily, what we have here is this definition of stillness, and God provides that for us. People look many, many places for peace. You know, people will turn to movies and TV to distract them, or maybe to a good book, right? But things of this world tend to distract us instead of giving us a true calm or a true peace. Christians have a sense of peace that can only be provided by God, that can only be provided by Christ. So how can we find peace? Where can we find this peace? Well, many of us found a lot of peace for the last 30 minutes singing. I've found that when I'm stressed, the two things that I do the most are sing and pray. Both of these things being to God. Historically, we have several examples of people who turn to God in their times of stress, or in their times of struggle, or in times of danger. My mind goes to the Titanic. See, I put water up on the screen because the Titanic. I was thinking, Robert. We have this example of the Titanic, and I just recently saw the movie, The Titanic, for the first time earlier this year. And it is a great movie, and I'm sure many of you have seen it. But on this movie, of course, this is when the boat is sinking. It has split in half. It's already hit the iceberg. It's going down. People are in a panic. There is terror everywhere, right? Everyone's trying to get onto a lifeboat or trying to get safely into the water, not have to fall from too high. And everyone is just terrified. And in the midst of this chaos, there is a band, an orchestra, playing. They get done playing, and they realize that they're not going to make it, that this is the end. And there's a violinist, and I'm not good with instruments, but several other, at least three other people who are there playing instruments, and they come to this, again, to this realization that this is the end for them. And so in that time of panic and chaos all around them, they say their goodbyes to each other and then begin to play "Nearer, My God, to Thee." And this is one of the most, if not the most, okay, one of the most emotional scenes in this movie, at least to me, where everyone is running and screaming, and nobody really knows what's happening. Nobody really knows if they're going to survive or not. And in the background, you hear this melody of "Nearer, My God, to Thee." These people who know this is the end of their physical lives. Also, just after this, when the music fades, it turns to this priest who has several people on the ship gathered around him, and he's reading from Revelation, or he's quoting Revelation chapter 21, trying to give these people a sense of peace and calm. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." These people, these musicians, this priest, all of these people who are gathered around this priest praying, they're kneeling on the ground. The ship is starting to rise, so they're sliding and just holding on for dear life. They understand that this is the end. And so they turn to the only place they know they can find peace. They turn to God. They realize that their soul is more important than their physical lives, and they try to find some sense of peace in Him. Like we mentioned earlier, Christians have peace like no one else. Christians, I'm sure there were several Christians aboard that boat, and several would have been running for the lifeboats, right? As I'm sure many, if not all of us would have. But we still all would have been terrified. Yet there's a difference between us and someone who does not know God, and that is, we know that were our physical life to end, we have something far greater waiting for us. We have a hope of heaven, and that gives us an immense, a powerful sense of peace that no one else has, that no one else can get. I'm reminded of Jesus in Luke chapter 23, when he is enduring one of the most stressful times anyone has ever endured. And he's here, he's in the garden before he goes to the cross. And he goes off by himself to pray, to turn to God. And of course, he's here and he asks God, you know, let this cup pass from me, which of course we know didn't happen. However, it's still the fact that Jesus probably, we can assume, knew that this had to happen. His death on the cross, his suffering leading up to the cross and on the cross had to happen. And so he still, knowing all of this, goes and prays to his Father to find peace. And when he's done, he stands up and he knows it's time. And Judas comes and the mob takes him away. See, we as Christians, as I've said, we have an escape from the evil of this world. We have an escape from sin. We have an escape even from pain when we turn to God. When we have the hope of heaven, it helps us realize and understand that the things of this world aren't really as important as we make them to be. Having a messy floor with crazy kids isn't as big of a deal as we think it is. When we realize that the things going on here should not affect our eternity in heaven. When we think about the joy of being with God, it helps take away that stress and that anxiety. And I'm not saying it cures it completely, but it sure does help. It sure does give us a place to go. And God is always a listening ear. I think of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but I want that. I want to experience this peace that surpasses all understanding, that is beyond what my mind can even picture. And as a Christian, I know that I have that. We are so blessed to know God, and we are so blessed to have a God who loves us so much. I recently read a quote, and it didn't have an author attached to it, but I really liked it and I thought I would share it. It says, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather the presence of God." When we find ourselves in this trouble, we can know that even though we have to endure, we have to push through, when we are in the presence of God, we have peace. Ask yourself tonight, what does your life look like when you allow yourself to feel the peace of God? How does your day change when you are praying to Him and asking Him to give you peace? Asking Him to maybe take away some of the stresses or the anxieties in your life. How does that change your mindset going into every day? I think if you allow it, if you start your day with that prayer, knowing that maybe tomorrow you have a very stressful day. Maybe tomorrow is your first day at work. Maybe tomorrow is just another stressful Monday, right? Maybe it's your first week interning at a church. That's pretty scary too. I've found that when we start our day with prayer and we give these things to God, we can allow ourselves to feel His peace. Again, that surpasses all understanding and is beyond what we can even think of or imagine. So I ask you tonight, are you reaching out for peace? Do you need peace? I think we all do. If you're here as someone who is not a Christian and you don't have that peace that God offers, let me tell you, peace is not the only thing you gain when you become a Christian. If you're here as someone who isn't a Christian, we would love for you to come forward to let us study the Bible with you. And then you can be baptized and have salvation, the forgiveness of sins, these things that cause that great peace. Maybe you're here as someone who is a Christian and you do have this peace, but you've been struggling. You've been going through other things and you have lost this peace of Christ in your life. If that's the case, or if you need to come forward for any reason, please let it be known as together we stand and sing.